Luke that Jesus turned his heart and turned his face towards Jerusalem. He'd been telling his disciples, look, it's necessary that I'm going to go there. And when I go there, I'm going to be taken and I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten and I will be crucified. He told them that several times. And sometimes I find encouragement with the disciples because I see myself in there. Because sometimes they're a little thick. Sometimes they just don't quite get it. And I know how that feels. Sometimes I just don't get it. Right? Sometimes you want to hear what you want to hear. Instead of hearing what is actually being said. And so it came to pass, in Luke 9 says, that when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So he was going to go. And we turn around, and in John, here, he arrives. And as he goes down through, and he tells his disciples, go ahead, and he goes, look, there's a donkey. It's tied up. Go get it. If anyone asks you, tell them the Lord has need of it. And that's exactly what happened. The disciples came down there, found it just as Jesus said they would. And as they were taking it, the owner came up, whoa, whoa, whoa! And he said, no, the master has need of it. And he said, go take it. And this becomes such a highlight as we go towards Easter of the triumphant entry, that Passover. And I couldn't help but think of those who watched things around them. You know, it's interesting because, you know, you watch the news, you listen to radio or read papers. I don't know if you even read papers anymore. You read things online. And time again, you come across all these different views. And have you read or heard someone who you wonder if they live in the same world as you do? Right? And it's like, what? You know, and their viewpoint and some of the things that's run out there, and I'm like, where are you getting that from? And it's on both sides of the aisle, right? It's interesting to listen across spectrums and different people, different opinions on things. It's interesting, my first church, hard to believe, is 28 years ago. I am old. And I remember... No, that's not true. It's not 28. It was 25 years ago. So I'm not that old. I just gained 3 years. I feel good already. But I remember being a young pastor at the time, and I befriended the pastor in the next town up. And it was funny because I came from a pretty hard-nosed fundamentalist background, and I've kind of mellowed from my upbringing a little bit. And it's interesting talking to him. He came from a very liberal church growing up. And he had become slightly more conservative. And so it's interesting that we would sit down and have conversations, and we were in alignment on so much. But it was hilarious because we started talking, and we both came to the same conclusions totally different ways. He just saw things different because of how he was raised. And I saw things different from him. But yet, when push came to shove, as we both sought out the Lord and what the Bible says, it brought us together. But it was so interesting just how, you know how it is, right? Not everyone thinks like you do. I mean, every week I get up here and I have to preach, and you get a little glimpse of how I think, and I feel so sorry for you. Because most people don't think like I do. That's probably a blessing. And so as we approach Palm Sunday, I couldn't help but think, as Jesus is riding on this donkey and coming in the town, that really there's probably three categories of people who were in Jerusalem that day. See, Passover was one of these events that was required by the Old Testament law to be in Jerusalem. So each family had to send a representative, and often be a representative, and they probably bring some sons and some daughters and make it a family event. And so the Passover is just one of these events that was mentioned both in Leviticus and both in Deuteronomy that was required for a head of the family to show up. So this city of Jerusalem, and it's interesting, I was looking at some of the historical records, and they didn't keep really good records back then. It's funny because you're trying to find, you know, how many people lived in Jerusalem at that point, and their numbers are all over the place. But the consensus seems to be that Jerusalem roughly had 100,000 people who lived in Jerusalem at that point. That's a pretty good-sized city. But during Passover, that number could swell to double, up to 200,000. And I've seen some estimates that say that it could have been up to 1 million people packed into Jerusalem. How many of you guys like crowds? I got one. All right. I kind of like crowds. I sound like a politician. Yeah, I'm kind of wishy-washy. Like, you know, I like being in the hubbub of things. A couple years ago, we went down and saw the Science Museum in Boston. Have you guys been down to the Science Museum in Boston? Love it. It's one of those places that I love, my wife not so much. And so we go there very rarely because I'm one of these guys that I could spend all day there. I mean, let's get it when it opens, and I'll read every plaque, and I'll watch everything. If you get a chance, you go and see the lightning show. I mean, it's just phenomenal. But I'm just one of these guys that I start looking and reading, and my wife's like, all right, come on. Come on. But I could be there all day long. And I like to be, you know, the crowds are kind of buzzed and kind of excited. And we went down the Quincy Square. Have you been down there? And I like that. You get a lot of people in there fighting for the food and all that. But there's something about the excitement of a lot of people. And some of you are like, no way. My wife's one of those. She doesn't like crowds. She's just like, something wrong with you. And I usually say, yeah, there's a list. I'm probably certified in many of them, but right, there is something about that excitement. And imagine Jerusalem as people are coming and preparing. Because Passover wasn't just one of these events where you just kind of showed up. Actually, there's preparations, there's cleansing, there's things that need to be set in place, there's meals that need to be prepared. You know, you ever have whole bunch of people come over to your house for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, or maybe this Easter, your house is the house where everyone shows up. And there's a lot of preparation that has to take place. You know, sometimes it's nice when you're the person who just shows up. Let someone else do all the work and all the stress. And here they are in Jerusalem, and people are buying and selling and buying lambs for sacrifices or for their meal that they need to prepare and finding the right ingredients. And if you're from out of town, you know, do you stay with family? And that brings up a whole different ball of wax. I won't get into staying with family. But then you turn around and maybe you need to rent a place. And how many people are coming? And get all the details and get that all planned out. So all this is going on in Jerusalem. And I imagine that the first group of people that we see within this is that there are people who are just totally unaware that the Lord's in town. Right? Not everyone knew. And I'm sure some people maybe didn't even care. Oh, I hear Jesus is coming. Oh, I'm too busy doing, right? What do you think about these leeks? You know, these fresh. I mean, how many pomegranates can I buy for a denarii? Right? All these things taking place, and people are so busy in their own lives. In Matthew 16, we see this. The question is, who is Jesus? Matthew says this, and when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. But he said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So you had all these people who were unaware. But then you had a whole lot of people who were just unsure. And there are two different groups of people.
Can I tell you, there's a lot of people who are just not interested in spiritual things. We're talking about this morning in Sunday school, how our nation is becoming increasingly secular. I remember talking to a lady here in town, and she goes, back when she was young, this is many, 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 many years ago, she talked about everyone went to church somewhere. You know, some people came to church here, and there's a church just down the road, you know, just north of us. There's a couple of churches south of us, but everyone just kind of went somewhere. It was just understood. It was the odd thing to find someone who didn't go to church at all. And yet today we have so many people who are not even interested in spiritual things at all. I get frustrated with parents who are teaching or not teaching their children. The Bible tells us that we need to train up our children. And I remember back when I first started off in ministry, that often we would have people who are like, you know, I'm not interested in church, but my kids need to know. So they send the kids to Sunday school. Or they send them to church, right? He goes, I'm not really religious, but my kids need to know about these things. And those days are gone. That now you talk to parents and they're kind of like, well, I'm not religious at all, you know. But I'll let my kids, I'll wait till they get older and make their own decisions. And often if you don't instill these things in our children when they're young, it doesn't stick when they're older. And we've seen this in the church. But we live in a world that often doesn't care. But the second group are these. Who is this Jesus? And there's some people who are just unsure. They're just not sure who Jesus is. You know, I believe he's a good person. He's a good teacher. Was he from God? There's people like, I don't even know if he really existed. And this has been a question ever since Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus asked his disciples, who are people talking about? Right? Who do they think I am? And they're like, well, maybe you're Elijah or maybe you're one of the prophets, or we don't know. Actually, last week, we were in Luke 9. And Herod, says, now Herod the Tetrarch, heard all this was done by him, and he was perplexed. Talking about Jesus doing these miracles. Because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead. And by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. Herod, who was the ruler over this area, had a really interesting relationship with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist would call him out on his sins, and John was pretty harsh. He wasn't a kind of guy who sugarcoated the message. But it pierced Herod's heart, and Herod would listen to him. And through events, Herod was tricked into promising to behead John the Baptist, and he killed him. Now, it's interesting because, you know, we often think if we just get rid of the messenger, that takes care of the message. And that's... So John was, I'm sure after John was beheaded, that Herod was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm done with that. But it doesn't change the message. And so all of a sudden word came about Jesus, and Herod was kind of freaking out, and he goes, is this John the Baptist come back from the dead? Who is this Jesus? As Jesus goes forth and performed many miracles, the common response was this. And so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? And there are people today who are searching. And maybe you're here this morning. I mean, you're here for a reason. To hear a message from God. And maybe you're like, I don't know about this Jesus. I'm not sure. Question is, where does that lead you? I had an opportunity this summer to talk to a man who was going through a lot of things. And I asked him, what do you think about Jesus?
He goes, well, I think he was a good man. I think he was a good teacher, and we need to kind of try to do what he taught. I said, you got part of it right. The Bible says Jesus is God. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. And he came into this world to die for you and for your sin. He goes, well, I don't believe that part. I said, that's the important part. A couple years ago, I was talking to another gentleman. And it's funny, in our conversation, he goes, you're a pretty good guy. I said, well, thank you. I don't hear that too often. And he goes, you know how you can really get your church to grow? I was like, oh, what? Well, you know, I'm curious. What do I have to do to get the church to grow? He goes, you know, you just drop this Jesus is God thing. He goes, you just drop that. He goes, you know, teach people to love each other, teach people to be kind to each other. He goes, you know, I met people from the church. You guys are a friendly group. He goes, this Jesus is God thing is just a little too much. You drop that and the church will grow. I said, we can't drop that because that's what this is all about. That's why, you know, before the Easter season, we started looking at the red letters. Where are the words of Christ? And when we're done with Easter, we're going to go back into the book of Matthew, look at the words of Christ. What did Jesus say about himself? Because there's a lot of people who like the idea of Jesus, but don't want him as their king. And there are those who are unsure. And so why do people show up? It's interesting because some came to be entertained. Remember, word had gone out that Jesus was performing miracles. Right? Last week we were in Luke 9, and in there, Jesus fed 5,000. How many would love to show up for a free lunch? I like free food. I think free food is good food. Most of the time, right? Come and get fed. Come and be entertained. Jesus is healing. Making blind men see and lame walk. Come for the show. John 12 goes on and says, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they had heard that he had done this sign. Right? Not only come and be fed, this Jesus is feeding multitudes with just a little bit. Wow. We went down and saw Sights and Sound this last summer. Saw Esther. I know some of you are heading out real soon to go down and see David. Satan sounds fantastic. I'm slightly jealous. Okay, I'm really jealous, but and I think you guys are doing this. One of the best things about going down there is Shady Maples. And even been down in Pennsylvania, the Shady Maples, this is all you can eat buffet with. The food is just amazing. I could spend a whole vacation. They need to have rooms for rent in Shady Maple just so you can just eat the whole time. Right? I enjoy that. So people are coming out to be filled. Some are coming out to watching the miracles. And John tells us, look, it wasn't too much before this that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. What's he going to do next? Right? He had those who were unsure who Jesus was, but they wanted to be entertained. And I think we live in a society where we like to be entertained. Right? We like the flashy and the loud, and we like things that grab our attention. And I find myself falling into this. I remember when I was younger, I would sit down and read. Remember back when people read? You know, read books and volumes. And I found myself, you know, I was reading an article talking about how Americans have short attention spans. But the article was too long, so I didn't read it all. That was a joke. But I found myself reading, I find myself going through, and especially if I'm on my phone, if I get to an article that's too long, I'm like, come on, just get to the point. I've lost my attention span. I want it now. I want it quicker. And we're used to that in our society. And many were coming out and saying, oh, wow, Jesus rose over from the dead. What's he going to do next? They weren't interested in a king. They were just interested in the show. And there's people who will turn to Jesus and say, look, what can you do for me? They're not looking for a king. They're just basically looking for a glorified Santa Claus, right? God, I've been good. You know, I've been a good boy, and here's my list, and this is what I want. And if I don't get it, I'm going to walk away. So some of the crowd were unaware, didn't even care. Some were unsure. But there are some that were unwilling to bow the knee. They were unwilling to accept him for who he was. Luke 19 tells us, says, the crowd was shouting, Hosanna, as they were laying down their clothes, as they were taking palm branches and laying them down, hailing Jesus as their king. The Pharisees, we've met them before. These were the religious ones, and they didn't like Jesus because Jesus didn't come and play into their system. They were afraid they were going to lose power. They were going to lose authority. Jesus was shaking things up too much. Boy, that sounds like our society. Shake things up a little bit. You get yourself in trouble. Don't just say the right thing. You get ostracized or taken off Twitter or taken off Facebook or YouTube because you didn't say something just right. You're shaking things up a little bit. Jesus shakes things up. And some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're like, hey, tell them to be quiet. This Jesus, this king thing is just too much. It's too radical. You're making too much noise. Boy, this doesn't sound like the crowd today. And here he was, the Messiah, fulfilling scriptures. These are the ones who should have known. And you know what? I believe many of them did know. They just chose to reject him. Actually, the night he was crucified, Pilate had brought Jesus out. And this is what they said. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. These were unwilling to bow the knee. And maybe you're in that group here this morning. You know, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to yield to his authority. He's the king, but not of my life. I'm the king of my life. Because that last group are those that are willing to see Jesus as king. Luke 9 says, and when they brought him to Jesus, they threw their own clothes on the colt. And he set Jesus on him, and they went, and many spread their clothes on the road. Scripture elsewhere says, and so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Mark says it this way. He says, those who went before him who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna! In the highest. This last group are those who see Jesus. And even though he was on a donkey, not a mighty steed, even though he didn't have a robe and a crown, they looked at him and said, this is my king. This is my king. And in there had a reaction to that. They took their clothes, their own clothes, and laid it before him. See, if Jesus is our king, then he deserves our possessions. All that I have belongs to him. See, if I'm my king, It's all mine. Me, 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 me. But if he's my king, then he deserves it all. If he's the one who died for me, shed his blood for me, what can I do for him except give him my life? All of it. If he's our king, he deserves our time. As we mentioned, this was Passover. Many preparations had to be done. Places to stay, tables set up, food prepared. All these things need to be taken care of. And yet all these ones, when they saw Jesus, none of that mattered. They dropped all that and said, he is the one we will worship. And I'll give you of my time. And I don't know which is harder, to turn around and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my possessions. All that I have belongs to you. Or to turn around and say, Lord, take my time. Because I know there's 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. But man, doesn't it seem like it's going faster? Where is the time gone? My time is precious. You know, we're so wrapped up in doing so many different things. Things that can bide our time. It's funny when we go on vacation, and maybe you experienced, you know, because we tend to go to places that are a little more populated. My family was in Minnesota, so we go to like St. Paul, or now my mom's in Florida, and really like that, especially in January, head down to Florida for a little while. But they all seem to be more populated than here. And it's funny how time works, right? Because we have friends who come and visit us, and they're used to, you know, and they say, oh, well, this is what we want to do. And we had a family show up. They wanted to go to Mount Katahdin, Bar Harbor, and see the Portland lights all in one day. Yeah, you all laugh. Now, people are on, you know, Facebook don't realize that. But there's a lot of distance between these places, right? You know, people say, well, how far to the nearest Walmart? I don't know what you use for a gauge of society, you know. But, yeah, it's like 35 minutes. Depends on how you drive, right? Some of you 10 minutes, but mostly it's like 35 minutes to get to Walmart. I remember talking to them, yeah, and they're like, that far? Oh, man. Oh, that's far. Right? We're just used to driving, right? You know, we go to Minnesota or Florida, we can do two or three things in one day. I mean, you can just go and boom, boom, and we're done. And oh, wow, we can go somewhere else. It's like, because everything's all close. But time is one of those precious things. And Lord, I'm going to give you time. Lord, I'm going to give you time in the morning to sit down and pray before I start my day and get into your word. Lord, I'm going to spend time. You know, maybe I'll spend just a few minutes before my meal and pray to you, Lord. Carve out time. Now, I said this years ago, and I think it even stands more today. You know, if we prayed as often as we checked our Facebook page, our lives would be transformed. Time. And one of the things I've realized over the years, that you will make time for things that are important to you. I appreciate you this morning. This was important to you. There's a lot of things you could have done besides being here. But you made a priority. If Jesus is my king, he deserves my time. If Jesus is our king, he deserves our praise. Here the crowd is shouting out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. He's our Savior. Hosanna, praise him. And the Pharisees were like, be quiet. And they're like, we're not shutting up. Nothing's going to stop us. Ah, praise my Lord. I'm going to raise my hand. I want to be counted. Because our Lord is worthy of this. Be praised. To sing of the goodness of God. You know, this COVID thing is crazy. I feel like we're almost getting to the point where like we're almost done.
And I was watching the news today, and they're talking about some lockdowns and masks. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go back. But in the midst of all this, God has been good. Amen. I mean, I was probably, I told you guys last week, I asked Judy of, you know, where are we with the budget with COVID and, you know, attendance down and overall for the whole year, we're just a couple thousand dollars short of budget. It's like, how'd that happen? God's good. God's taking care. God's been faithful. He's worthy to be praised. You know, this is a political year, and I love listening to politicians because a lot of them are singing a totally different tune now that their re-elections are just a few months away than they were a year ago, right? That's just the nature of politics. Doesn't matter what side you're on, that's just the way it is. And it just struck me, I was listening to a politician the other day, and it all depends on, you know, what party you're for and who you're talking about, right? I mean, party loyalty arrives above a lot of things, and it just struck me, I was listening to this guy, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just heard the opposite not that long ago. And it just got me thinking, you know what? I'm thankful for this, because this doesn't change. God doesn't change. And the promises he makes, he will keep, because he can. And folks, why would I follow this world, as fickle as it is, when I can praise God who doesn't change? Amen? And because of that, he deserves our loyalty. The Bible warns us that as we see the end times approaching, and I believe we're getting close to that. I look at the wickedness of this world and I'm like, Lord, how long until you come? But in the midst of all this, Lord, help me be loyal to the end. May when you come back, you find me busy about what you want me to do. I remember as a kid, we had moved to Maine to Minnesota, from Minnesota to Maine, and my stepfather had converted a school bus into a camper for us. And so we lived over a summer out in the backwoods in Island Falls. I don't know if you guys know where Island Falls is. We lived in the woods of Island Falls. You know, we didn't have running water. We would go bathe in the river. It was fun as a kid. Play in the woods all day. But up in Island Falls, there's over a big part of it, it's a lot of clay. I don't know if you've been in an area with a lot of clay. My parents had left, and they thought we were old enough to leave by ourselves. We were grown up enough. That was a big mistake they made. And he left, and it started to pour rain. And the road that we drove into by where we were staying, the whole thing turned into this red clay, messy. You ever get clay when it's all? And I don't know how it all started. One of my brothers had fallen down and slid and got that clay all over him. We were laughing at him, so he got mad, and he threw a clay ball of mud at us, And so the thing escalated. You got, you know, four kids in the woods. We were going right to town. We were making mud balls and throwing it at each other, and all that red clay just stained. I mean, it's just horrible stuff. It's slicker than snot, because snot's pretty slick. And so we were sliding and falling. You go to throw and you fall down, and we're going right to town. Then all of a sudden, we heard our parents' truck come down a little bit of the road into where we were. And it caused us to stop because mom and dad were home. Well, we stopped and realized we were totally covered head to toe in clay. The side of the bus was completely covered in clay. We were so busy that we forgot, because when it rains, you're supposed to put the windows up. We didn't do that. So not only was rain getting into the camper, but now all the mud that we were throwing was now not on the outside of the bus, but it was now on the inside of the bus. And if you've ever dealt with clay, it does not come out easily. That red
You know what I'm talking about? A vehicle comes in, we were caught red-handed. And my parents came out to find this mess. And my parents, I know there's a statute of limitations, but my parents did stuff to me that by today's standard would call them going to jail. But that was called good parenting back then. Because we deserved the punishment we got. But we were totally caught unaware until they came. The Lord is coming back. Do you believe that? The Lord's coming back. May he catch us doing what he wants us to do. And not be throwing the mud of this world around. May we be found spotless before him. And not dirty from rolling in the mud of this world. Amen? He deserves our loyalty. And it's interesting because we say, well, I don't understand this all. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. How many of you guys remember Charlie Newt? He's a pastor from many years ago. He's gone to home to be with the Lord now. But I remember the first message I ever heard him preach, and he was just one of these guys that was kind of pretty easygoing, laid-back kind of guy. His house had burnt down, and the media had showed up, and you know what the media does. They shove a microphone in your face. He goes, hey, your house is burnt down. How do you feel? And they stuck a microphone in his face. And he goes, well, my wife's been after me to fix the closet door for so many years now. She goes, I guess I don't have to do that now. That's the kind of guy Charlie Newt was. He was just... But the first message I heard him preach, he got up. He goes, folks, I'm not going to teach you anything new this morning. He goes, most of you don't need anything new. He goes, you just need to start doing what you already know. Talk about a conviction. But see, we don't need to know and understand it all. Just trust and obey. See, John 12 wraps up with this. It says, the disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. And they had what they had done, these things to him. You know, laying down the cloaks and shouting Hosanna, they didn't understand all they were doing. They were just obeying. And it wasn't until later on that they understood. You know, there's a lot in this world I don't understand. I don't. A lot of things in this world, God, I don't know what he's doing. I scratch my head and why is God allowing some of these things? You ever felt that way? But my response needs to be to trust and obey. Okay, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. I may not understand it. I can't explain it. But Lord, because you said so, I will obey. I will be loyal to you, Lord. I will be obedient. I will give you my time. I will give you my possessions. All that I have is yours, Lord, because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So this morning, let me ask you, who do you see? When you see Jesus, who do you see? Pray this morning you'll see him as his king and give your life to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for leading and guiding us in truth of who you are. Lord, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hosanna. Save us, Lord, and help us serve you with all that we have and all that we are. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Why don't you stand and sing with me, please? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. And all God's people said, amen. Enjoy.